Got a dirty truck? Clean it up at the Brownsville Car Wash, just 5 miles east of I-5, exit 216.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Terry and Gatz Comedy Show for Friday, you hell bastards. Hell bastard, that's who this is. We're listening to it.
Yeah. Hell bastard.
Unjustly executed, is that what you said?
It is.
That was a gap.
Justly executed.
Oh, on.
From the, Earache compilation, right?
Grind Crusher! She's gonna grind up my Jones Crusher.
One or two of the guys formed another band called Grind Crusher or something like that. Maybe it was Hell Crusher. And Hell Bastard was offered a contract and they turned it down.
And the one guy in the band said, "What the hell, bastard?" And that's how they got the name of the band.
Hell Bastard turned it down, opening the way for one of the Crusher bands that they were part of to grab the deal, and then they eventually signed with a different album, or a different rat label.
Not Earache?
It might have been.
Because that's what the Grind Crusher compilation was on Earache.
Yeah. I think this might have been after that all this other stuff went down.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
Dude, it definitely
the intro definitely sounded Slayer-ish, did it not?
Oh, yeah, but and it had the harmony part, too, yeah.
You could almost go, like, that's written
very
in the style
Slayer.
Of Slayer.
Very early
almost.
Slayer, yeah.
So it definitely got that music, you and know,
this,
and
this,
I didn't
this
read
sounds
the
like
lyrics.
Exodus, to me. That sounds like an Exodus riff.
You know,
and
they,
the production,
they got their chops, for sure.
And it's got the cheesy sound of snare, where it's just not like, pat, 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 pat.
Mm-hmm. And the drums, you know, he's got a pretty good thing going on there.
A little
like
gallop.
Uh-huh.
It's like he's riding a metal horse.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, speaking of metal and galloping, it just came to me. I forgot to mention all this week, the Red Room is now closed.
What?
Well, it'll probably be something else, but yeah. The managers and the people who run it lost their lease. They had the final real comedy spot open mic on Monday.
That was a confused bar, though, wasn't it?
It was. It was metal, and it was punk, and it was comedy, and...
And sports. I remember, like, the other half when I went there and watched Game Over, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the back where the bar was, they had sports on the TVs. Yeah. And
the bathrooms were like Samurai Duck.
Yeah, you could see where they had... like contests coming down and watch the sports, or you know, they had some teams hanging. So it was weird, but it was a very cool dive bar, though.
A lot of bands played there.
Yeah,
they had at least two of the Sickness in September festivals that hosted over 40 bands from all over the United States, and I don't know, they had a lot of cool things there. Lonnie Brune had his CD release or his DVD release party there.
Oh, that's right. Where he used to be. Oh, that's not where he recorded it, though.
No,
right?
No. Yeah, this was later.
He recorded in L.A.?
No, in Portland.
Or in Portland.
Star Theater, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, so it was cool. I did comedy there and played music there in a few different bands. And sad to see it go. I hope they don't turn it into, like, whatever, a dance club.
Yeah.
Or a strip club.
I think the ceilings are pretty low for a dance club.
Yeah. It seems like a dive bar.
Yeah, definitely.
It should just whoever takes it over should just say, "Oh, we'll just keep it."
Just spray paint it a little bit more.
Yeah. Just if you want to change the name, just change it to like the Blue Room. or whatever color paint you can get cheapest.
About 15 years ago, there's a bar down there. It was more downtown. No, it was called the Green Room.
In Portland?
Yeah.
Right on.
And I don't think it had anything to do with...
comedy.
No. It was just like a little low-key, little kind of a upper-end bar where they had like upper-end alcohol and stuff, but it was real low-key. There was never like a bunch of people in, but it was kind of, I don't know, maybe a youngster, hipster kind of a place.
Right.
I went in there a couple times, and they had kind of a Portland indie kind of bands in there. You know, not like a... It seemed like more acoustical style bands, you know, but that was quite a while ago.
Over 10 years ago?
Yeah, it's stretching my fucking memory. Like hardcore.
That laugh made me cough and it had a very liquidy sound to it. I think I smoked too much. Been smoking less cigarettes, though. I don't think I'm probably going to quit, but you never know.
I'm going to smoke one then.
I think I
should.
I don't think I've had one today.
Ah!
Wonder if I should quit today. Since I haven't had one yet.
If you don't feel like you need one.
Well, you never know. Before we're done, I'll probably end up...
The thing is, you know, just you don't put the pressure on yourself, you know? If you don't,
what's
just fucking smoke one.
Oh, I don't ever do that.
Well, I mean, you know...
Usually
I mean,
when I just realize, I'll be like, whoa, I haven't even had a cigarette. It's been like 24 hours, and then... Like, yeah. And then I always think, well nah, maybe I should quit.
Nah. Yeah, but yeah, you know. But I mean, opposed to like if you were in the position of like I really want one, you know, just smoke one rather than being like,
you can't have,
and then
one.
Like self hate yourself or whatever.
Yeah,
you know. I mean, there's always if. You light it and you don't feel good about it, you know, you're going to put it out and that's going to be an affirming action for you, you know.
My stomach is so full of pizza right now, I don't think I can even inhale any cigarette.
Oh, there you go.
No, I was smoking.
Pizza now is delicious.
Man, it was so good today. I don't know if it was because it was my first meal of the day, but it was delicious, and I got some breadsticks with their special marinara sauce.
Oh, man, they're good.
Yeah, $2.50. So for, $2.50.
That's a meal for, like, a lunch if you were on a lunch break and even just needed somewhere quick to go.
Even though some of them do look phallic, but they don't taste like penises. No. They could. I don't. You put enough butter on anything. No, I'm just kidding.
Isn't it weird that, you know, living kind of near... a school area. There's no like fast food places within walking distance.
Walking Phoenix.
Yeah. Yeah. You just don't see them around here. I was thinking about that.
Oh, in this area where we are?
Yeah.
At the Tagcast Studios?
Yeah.
No, you really don't.
The nearest place would be like
Mollish. Mollish area.
Yeah,
right?
That Burger King on the end of or Gary. Down there.
Now, is it be closer than walking clear down to, say,
Albertsons?
Highway 99, like taking a left at 34 and walking down.
Oh, yeah.
Because then you still got to go clear to Taco Bell and McDonald's.
Yeah. Yeah, that's quite a way. That's a longer walk than you think all the way to the
It all seems long to me.
Yeah. Because it's about equidistant from here to Bob's as it is from here to Circle K.
Okay. I couldn't believe how far they made us walk at the stupid Foreigner concert last week. That was gay.
And you guys weren't even foreigners.
No. Most of them weren't either.
Yeah. Yeah, Lance said he heard people were kind of disappointed.
Yep. It was just like a cover band, but they were good.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
Did it feel like the first time you heard them?
No, but they played that song.
I heard there was some extra people on I Want to Know What Love Is.
We left before that.
Oh. You said there was like a high school choir or something that came in.
Oh,
and sang
maybe.
With them?
I don't know, but they did. You know that song, Say You Will, Say You Will.
Uh-huh.
I had forgot about that, so I had this set list in my head, right?
Uh-huh.
It's got Hot Blooded, Cold as Ice, Double Vision, Dirty White Boy.
Wait, did you have in your list, did you have Head Knocker?
That was in my list of songs I knew that they weren't going to play, but I wish they would have.
Oh, why did you think that they weren't going to play it?
Because it wasn't a hit. It wasn't really a top. Did they play it?
I don't know.
But if they did, I'm going to be pissed. That's my favorite song.
Because Jerry O, friend.
Yeah.
And he one time stated that that was his favorite song, and I had no idea which one that was.
That's
and all
good
I could
song.
Think of was Head Games. And so Ron and I were there working with Jerry.
You making fun of him and telling him it wasn't a real song.
Well, I would do as I do where I transplant different melodies with different lyrics, you know.
Head knocker.
And so I'd be like, the Head Games, I'd be like, head knocker.
And he's like, no.
But yeah, and so every time a Foreigner song would come on, I'd sing the melody of that Foreigner song, but I'd always sing it head knocker.
Ah.
And so,
dude,
which fits, like, head knocker, stars in his eyes, and then you got your head knocker.
No. It's head knocker.
I'm a head knocker.
Head knocker.
Check it and see.
It's coming on strong. A real showstopper. Head knock. It's a rocking song.
Yeah, I heard it after
Oh, did
that.
You finally get to hear it?
Yeah, but I can't hear it in my head now because all I hear is, it's a fun moment.
It's like
we provided many laughs.
It's kind of a slower stomp of a rock song, and mm-hmm. It talks about a guy who thinks he's really badass. He swears James Dean ain't dead, and carries a Smith & Wesson. Teach you a lesson.
Yeah, I remember being a rockin' song. I enjoyed it when I heard it afterwards, as opposed to like their lighter stuff.
Yeah,
you know.
So, but Say You Will, Say You Won't, or whatever that is. What I had forgot about that, and so
too.
They're like, "All right, we're gonna do something a little special for this song. We're gonna break it on down. We're gonna bring Mr. Jeff Pilson, formerly of Dokken, onto acoustic guitar from bass. We're gonna break this song down and do it acoustic style. We did this somewhere on some TV show, you know, the Unplugged." And I was like, "Wow, what song is going to be?
Fans would know.
What song is going to be?" Right. And I'm like, "Oh," he's like, "You'll know it when you hear it." And I don't until they went, "Say you will, say you will."
That and the one I was mentioning with the chorus.
I had actually, to be honest, forgotten about Dirty White Boy, too, until they said, Dirty White Boy, and they started playing it. And the first thing my wife said, she's like, "What do you think all the black people think about this song?" It's like, why would you? I don't know, but I wouldn't have never thought that. That's great. I'm going to use that.
And then, yeah, and so it's.
But no, it was urgent. Oh. And
urgent. That was kind of like
emergency.
The one song you're talking about is kind of like when they went into when Chicago went into the 80s, right?
Yeah, and they got all, "We're going to sing love songs.
Look Away." Yeah. And
"You're My Inspiration."
Oh.
Like, what happened to the
songs.
Awesome rock band that you were?
Yeah.
I mean, they did do a couple songs that were non-hits, like Blue Morning, Blue Day. That song,
that's a great song.
I used to sing that at karaoke all the time. Love it. And I was singing along at the top of my lungs, and people were looking at me, but they were going right on. And other people were singing, too. But I was glad they played that song.
It's a subdued song, too, man. I really like the mood of that song.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's got a minor key, too. And then it goes kind of like, "Oh, you're a stupid bitch, man. What are you fucking doing?"
Uh-huh.
It's like,
yeah.
It's a good tune. And got to see him do Cold as Ice and Hot Blooded and Double Vision.
Did you check it in C?
I checked it. It was 103.
Wait a minute. Do they play that song in C? Is it in the key of C? Did you check it in C?
It's like, "We're hot-blooded, we're playing in C. Hope that we are playing in key.
I hope that we can watch in sync.
Yeah. Before I drop a load in the sink."
Isn't that where Timberlake came from, in sync? They
yeah.
got together at the VMAs yeah. and did a couple songs because he got
Foreigner?
No. In sync.
Twerky Cyrus?
Timberlake got an achievement award and he said, "Half my moon man I won with in sync." And so they did a couple in sync songs.
So,
which I don't mind. I get confused. I respect Timberlake. You know, just as an artist.
So was Lance Bass in sync or Backstreet Boy?
I don't know. It doesn't sound like they were. I don't think they were in the same band.
Oh. Okay.
But I'm not sure. Because I thought both of those guys were like the biggest of their band, right?
Right.
Was there anybody on there that wasn't like a, like any host? Oh, you didn't watch it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Never mind. No, I just going through the
news. I was wondering what kind of hosts they have and.
Sure.
Or like presenters, if mm-hmm. they had actors or.
Probably like Rihanna, Will Smith, when his kids were there, I saw. But I don't know if they did. Probably like just the Gagas and stuff like that, maybe. Yeah.
This is kind of off the subject. We were talking about watching Family Feud with the black dude, Steve Harvey. Yeah.
Steve Harvey.
Pretty fucking funny, actually. And I was watching some old ones that are only from like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
They weren't new, though, and it was the TNA wrestling special week, and it was the chicks against the guys.
Like the soap opera stars or whatever?
Exactly, and so most of them I didn't know, Mr. Anderson and Matt something, but it was Mick Foley was on there, dude.
Oh,
he
nice.
He was one of the dudes.
He's gone, right?
No, I thought so, too, and I looked it up on Wikipedia, and he's still alive.
Oh, it was one of those gag things, wasn't it?
Was he the one that was supposed to have died?
I think he was. That's why he left wrestling, is because they weren't caring or something about the people or something. There's some controversy in
but
there.
It's so funny because all those other dudes were like super buff with like, you know, gym shirts on and like super short wrestling trunks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they're coming up to the thing to go bleep, 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 where they say a top 10 answers are on the board. And they're standing up there in like shorter
wrestling
fucking
leotard.
Yeah. Except for Foley comes out in, like, fucking just super baggy sweats and this really, like, Ricky-looking shirt, like, from Trailer Park Boys, just, like, a sparkly black and gold.
Like a mafia gangster, like.
Button-up shirt that's all big, and he's got, like, he's missing a tooth, of course, and it's just funny. The chicks were all hot and flirty and stuff, and it was just funny because some of the questions, but I thought that's the first thing I thought. I thought, and I had to go info. Original air date, 2010. I was like, well, maybe he did die. And then I Wikipedia'd it and said that he's 44 or something now.
Hey, he had something. He quit wrestling because of there was death or something. I don't know. I shouldn't talk about it. I'm speculating.
We should find out what happened.
I should conjecture
what happened to Mick Foley. And we got this little, like, my mom or my stepmom has it. I don't know where they got it. It got passed down in the toy boxes. It's a Hulk Hogan, like, wrestling figure. It's probably almost as tall as a 2-liter bottle. And it's, like, bendable. It's not like Stretch Armstrong, but it's at least bendable. Yeah. But he's like, come on, brother. And did you hear what happened to him recently?
Mm-mm.
Hulk Hogan. Because now my little 3-year-old godson, he knows who. He's like, oh, Hulk Hogan, because he knows Hulk Smash. And I taught him who Hulk Hogan was now. But Hulk Hogan recently got beat in an arm wrestling match by Toronto mayor. Crack smoking Toronto.
Yeah, the one that caught crack smoking on tape.
Do you think that that was a throw? Did he threw the fight?
Rob Ford. I don't doubt that. Well, Hulk Hogan's not in the best shape of his life, but I also,
you know, because
don't
of the fact of
the
how
crack smoker is very strong.
Hulk Hogan's big. I don't care how old he is.
I don't believe that he beat him on his own might. No.
Yeah, because I've never even seen a picture of it. Is he a skinny dude? Like
no.
Rob Ford. Says Toronto's controversial mayor Rob Ford engaged in a friendly arm wrestling match with Hulk Hogan and beat him. Whether the bout was more genuine than any other pro wrestling events is unknown. Oh, so that means it could have been rigged, just like all wrestling
is. Yeah, they were like in a bar on a table is the picture that I saw.
So Ford
like
became a household name in Canada and outside Canada when he was being on a video of him smoking crack.
Yeah, they got him on video smoking crack, and then somehow the video mysteriously.
He denied smoking crack and said something, there's no way of verifying it. And Hogan said, wow, that was a setup. Good job, Mayor. Number one Hulkamaniac right there.
Huh.
It's probably
I think it's a publicity stunt. Yeah. I don't know. It's weird, you know, that the whole crack smoking thing. You know, I think, well, crack smoking seems pretty popular, and you could still be productive on it. I didn't really realize that.
Right.
I thought it was one of those drugs that kind of turns you into the streets.
What, crack?
Yeah. You know, but Lamar Odom recently They staged an intervention. He's played for the Lakers.
It's Khloe Kardashian's husband.
Yeah, and he still plays basketball and stuff. And
he's a crackhead?
He's been smoking crack for like 3-4 years.
Recently?
Something like that, yeah.
How can he get through the...
They staged an intervention for him and
they
stuff.
They have a show on TV.
Yeah. Yeah, but he went missing and they were all worried and he turned up and the news came out that she might be leaving him because he's smoking crack, but she's trying to get him help right now, but she won't come back until he gets off the rock. And so it's weird, you know, because you hear more and more, this guy's a mayor and he's smoking crack and this guy's smoking crack and other people are smoking crack and they're...
But they're all black.
But they're all... No, the Toronto mayor is white.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry.
But he's...
I was thinking of Marion.
Like
I was thinking about...
Though.
I was thinking about Marion Barry.
He's not... well, Marion Barry, he smoked crack too and he was, you know, back in the day.
I know.
And...
he was a mayor.
Yeah.
Washington, D.C.,
Mm-hmm. And no. So it's, I don't know. It's easily accessible now, apparently, right?
Yeah.
And people,
you know what's funny? After the arm wrestling match, someone came up to the dude and asked him about the leaked videotapes and about, you know, the whole ordeal about smoking crack. And the guy just said, "I'm hungry," and walked off.
Yeah, he doesn't care. I don't think they get play into so much of that game up there in Canada of damning their politicians every time they do something stupid.
Yeah.
I think they got better things to worry about than to try to point out the fault of one person over and over, you know?
Yep.
I got a list here. You're talking about karaokeing.
Oh, yeah?
And I got a list of 15 most requested karaoke songs, and I know that you how long did you run that thing? You're doing once or twice a week?
Both. Well, for a while,
yeah,
it was
for
once a week.
You're doing once to twice a week.
For about over a year, we did it twice a week.
Yeah.
So that's there's 104 right there.
All right. So I thought that maybe you would identify
3.5-4 years
with a lot of these most requested songs.
You don't think I can't guess the number one?
Ooh, all right.
Or not the number one, but at least some of the top five.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if they're in any order, but...
and these are for frequency, or are these for just popularity?
Let me see if it says on the top, picking the perfect karaoke song can be a tough choice. This is from mentalfloss.com. It has to be popular enough so people can sing along with you,
uh-huh.
But easy enough for a karaoke beginner to master. And this being... when this was written anyway, it was National Karaoke Week. 15 of the most requested songs. I don't think these are in order, though.
Okay. Well, for me, I can think of at least 2 or 3.
All right.
And one of them is Kid Rock and Sheryl Crow's Picture. Don't know why. That's stupid.
Yeah.
Meatloaf, Bat Out of Hell. Mm-hmm. Or Paradise by the Dashboard Light, I mean. And
that's a long song, isn't it?
Yeah,
people
almost
like
9
karaoke
minutes.
In that one.
Yeah,
with that rap thing in the middle, uh-huh. Almost.
Yeah, weird.
Isn't there a weird long solo in there too, like a musical interlude?
That's pretty much all singing.
Okay,
there's a lot of singing. There's a lot going on.
That'd be tough, man. You'd get up there and not realize that maybe your voice can't stand that.
Well, it's a guy and
minutes.
A girl, you know,
oh,
so it's
okay,
like a duet.
Okay.
Yeah, because they have Carla Bonoff, whatever, with Meatloaf there. But and then I guess the other one...
Harris Borloff?
Carla Bonoff and Carla Bonoff and Boris Karloff got together. Boris Karloff. Carla Bonoff. You don't know Carla Bonoff? Okay.
Also, I hear his Islands in the Stream now.
Okay. I guess that one. Okay, I give up. Those were my only two guesses.
All right. I'm just going to go through these, and you can comment upon how frequent they were.
I will tell you if they are correct in our area of the woods. Necks of the woods. Neck of the woods.
This one is popular because it gives you the opportunity to do the moonwalk on stage.
Billie Jean. Yeah, there was one guy that always did it, but not... It wasn't like a lot of... Oh, here's another one, was always Baby Got Back.
Oh, yes, that is on that list.
Yeah,
this is on this list, and maybe
sure.
One of the most, like the top two.
And
that
fight,
I've seen.
Fight for Your Right to Party was always a big one, too, because of the everyone knows it.
Anthemic.
Yeah,
you know?
For
that's
sure.
That's what helps that.
Okay, so.
Say It Ain't So.
By Weezer?
Yeah.
Wow. I used to sing that. Nah. I you know, if you went on my history of my Weezer, or my karaoke, I probably sang that song over 100 times.
Yeah.
So, true dat. I can say true dat.
A great song. Let's launch them into rock status. A song called A One Hit Wonder. That's not what it's called. It's called Torn by Natalie Imbruglia.
I've been requested that before. And
I don't know it.
I didn't either, and I still don't. That's how terrible it must have been.
Yeah, it says, what better way to honor a one-hit wonder than to sing their song, which is true.
Right.
It's an Australian Grammy-nominated album. It's actually pretty tough to sing.
Huh.
Kings of Leon, Sex on Fire. This might be too new for you.
No, I have it. Have it, and people. But everybody did it shitty. So if they ever did it more than like once, they never would do it again because it's too high for them.
Yeah.
They can't sing that shit. They think they can.
Is it a duo?
Sex is on fire. No, it's terrible.
It came off the album Only by the Night.
Oh, yeah. Only by the night, I am singing like Cat Stevens. Okay,
Someone Like You by Adele.
I don't know much Adele, and I guess some people used to maybe sing a little bit of Adele, but it was no big Adele to me.
Yeah.
She's not a big Adele.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. She's got a good voice, but not my style to listen to.
Right.
This song is maybe one of the easiest songs to sing because you might be able to just kind of go like this, you little thing. Creep by Radiohead.
That was a big one. That's definitely a big one. People.
How many people said, because I'm a Wavo?
No, none of them. I never heard anybody said I'm a Wavo.
That's what he says, right?
I'm a creep. I'm a loser. I'm a weirdo.
No, I'm a Wavo.
No. I'm an egg.
That's what I used to always sing anyway.
I'm a Wavo.
Rancheros.
I don't belong to the rancheros. Get me out of Eros.
Oh, man, that song is just like A Prayer by Madonna.
Ooh. No, there's more people would sing Vogue than like A Prayer, but...
Yeah. It's got an easy hook, is their explanation.
Oh.
And,
okay.
This one, gonna get all boss on it, cause born in the USA.
Bruce Springsteen, seriously, no one in 3 years and over 200 appearances has ever asked
to
sing.
We're so far away from Jersey, though, that...
So what?
We see past that.
Someone sang 10th Avenue Freeze Out, but
that'd
they didn't sing.
That'd be a fun song to sing, though.
Hey! 10th Avenue Freeze Out!
That guy was fucking...
He was so... Just,
I
he was,
don't get it. I saw that album as one of the... on an article, like the 5 most overrated albums of all time was Born in the USA.
Well, there you go.
And here we go, number 9, Baby Got Back.
Okay.
Ba-ba. Because that just grabs your attention. Here's one I know you probably got a lot. And maybe you and Danny even sang it a few times. Love Shack.
Yeah, Love Shack was a big one. And I had actually been in some correspondence with a guy who was Terry Oakey. His name was Terry. His last name began with an O. Mm-hmm. And he claimed to be it was right when I started up my MySpace for Terry Oakey. And he's like, oh, glad to see you're here, you know, I'm Terry Oakey. He's like, but because of the fact that we're 3,000 miles away, I think we could probably just coincide. I'll be the East Coast Terry Oakey, and you could be the West Coast Terry Oakey.
Oh, yeah,
I was like, cool. So he's like, maybe we could compare horror stories of old karaoke times and We had a little bit of correspondence. He's like,
yeah, you guys should have wrote a book together.
The karaoke story
mm-hmm.
from coast to coasty. Karaoke coast to coast.
You guys could have examined the differences in karaoke's between the coasts.
Karaoke coast to coast with Terry, with Terrio and karaoke. So he said, so how many times have you had heard Love Shack? Am I right? And I was like, well, I'm fairly new, and I've never had anybody request that song. Because at that point, I hadn't. But then, you know, after a while.
Yeah, the next day, three people requested
it. They're like, oh, my God. I can't believe it.
A lot of people who sing karaoke love rock and roll.
Yeah.
And they like to profess how much they love rock and roll.
That's a big one. Joan.
Yep, Joan Jett.
Joan and the
African American Hearts.
Joan Jett and the Blackies.
Yeah, it's
does it, that doesn't count for about the Britney Spears version of that song, because there's a girl used to sing that at karaoke. I love rock and roll.
She loved cock and
because it was
bowls.
Bald Becky. You remember Bald Becky?
Mm. She liked to sing
Britney Spears. I love rock and roll.
Well, she would know that it existed.
Yeah, she would, and she would ruin it worse than it already was.
Yeah.
Glad you don't listen to our show, honey.
And one thing you got at karaoke, which says which is kind of ironic because people would sing that they ain't got no Santeria.
Yeah.
By Sublime.
Ain't got no
Santeria. You would get plenty of Santeria in your ears, I bet, right?
Yeah. For sure.
It's just a huge hit.
Huge.
All right, and this one's a Canadian singer-songrywriter.
Bryan Adams.
A number one hit in 1989.
It's the summer of 16, I don't know.
By a gal.
A gal?
Mm-hmm. And it was...
Celine Dion.
She earned a Grammy for Best Female Vocalist, and I don't even think she did any song after this.
Whitney Houston?
Black Velvet, if you please.
Oh, Alana Miles.
Yes.
Yeah, I will admit that that song does get sung quite often during karaoke.
You know that song was inspired?
Elvis.
By a bus ride to Graceland.
Yeah.
On the 10th anniversary.
I didn't know that it was inspired by a bus ride.
Well, to Elvis Presley's death.
Right. To his death?
Well, at the 10th anniversary of his death.
Okay.
She was going to... The Church of Elvis.
Okay.
All right, this one you're just going to say, well, yeah, Summer Nights.
Oh, but I had the dirty version always was way better.
Oh, she didn't turn just 18, she turned 14?
No, it was called, you're talking Grease, right?
Yeah.
No, there was a version by Olivia Neutron-Bomb and John Revolting. Called yeah. Dirty Summer Nights.
Ah.
And it was all, where you went swimming out by the dock, something, something, sucking his cock. It was totally dirty. It was.
So did anybody ever reenact, like, the scene when they're doing the Summer
Usually
Nights?
When they're drunk.
Yeah.
Well, not of Grease, but of all the sexual innuendos in the dirty version. No one usually ever really sang the real one.
Oh,
once
wow.
they found out that I had it, uh-huh. they were like, fuck that, we're singing the dirty version.
Right on. That's how you get down a karaoke style.
That's right. You sing about stuff and then you go suck some guy's dick in the parking lot.
Yep. And this one, the last one, is a very popular song in China when they sing after funerals.
Okay.
Don't Stop Believin'. By Journey.
That's the real winner right there?
Yep.
Number one. Well, yeah. And you know what's cool about that is it's Steve Perry's voice is high enough for a girl to really sing that song well. And the guys can sing an octave lower. And you'll get like four or five people up there just in a group. Hold on to that feeling.
Could you do two octaves below?
Yeah.
I've got a 5-octave range, brother.
You know when...
my battery's just died.
Back in the day, I remember doing karaoke. There's a bunch of us in school. We got up during the Strawberry Festival. We were going to do We Will Rock You, because Wayne's World was big at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And
I'm going to keep my low voice on.
We got up there as a group, and our plan was that there's going to be a couple of us singing, and the rest are going to kind of do the clapping and the stomping.
Oh, yeah.
But we were on stage, and when we all got up there, they're like, now this is on CD, so you can't be stomping on the stage or anything. So most people just sit up there.
Because it would make it skip?
Yeah. And that was back in the day, karaoke problems. But, you know, Journey's song, Don't Stop Believin', in 2011 became the most downloaded song on iTunes.
Whoa.
With over 5 million copies.
Just that song?
Yeah.
Huh. That's fucking weird.
Yeah. That does seem, I mean, even if you went the octave lower, if you just liked the song and you didn't know how to octavize, you know, or really, I mean, that could be a pretty awful song to be listening to.
Way too high.
You know, when you're trying to hit that...
Exactly. Scary.
It is. What do you think would sound...
Had to do it. It's been a week or two.
Yep.
What
that
do I
guy,
think
of what? Steve Perry and King Diamond doing an album together.
Whoa. Well, I don't think Steve's voice is as high as it is anymore. He went through some cancer and some throat problems, I think. But yeah, that'd be a pretty good album.
Yeah.
King would be singing about the devil and stuff, and Joe Perry would... Or Joe Perry. We could have Joe Perry on guitar.
Are those guys brothers?
No.
They kind of look like relatives, though. Like, they could be related, right?
Yeah, but one's from Boston, and the other's from L.A.
All right.
But
Journey's from L.A.?
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, San Francisco.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
California.
Yeah, I just read that, actually. So,
I think they moved to L.A. to make
certainly,
it big.
Yeah.
Just like Metallica and Slayer.
Yeah. San Fran probably at that time
it's
was more,
big.
You know. I think,
too many gays.
Yeah.
There's
I
too
don't
many
think
gays.
It was
yeah,
probably
they didn't
that.
Like
and that was probably, well, I guess that was before the comedy boom that was going on in San Fran, probably, right?
Yeah.
That was 80s, and Journey was well into the 70s.
They started early. They had a couple albums like 74, 75 before Steve Perry joined.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who was singing before? Was he the same type of vocalist?
Not at all. It's totally different. And they had mostly instrumentals and just sang on a couple songs. It was the guy that came from Santana with Neil Sean.
Huh.
Greg Raleigh.
And then did he, and then Escape?
Escape hit it big for him.
Yeah.
It had Stone in Love, Don't Stop Believing, Open Arms, Faithfully, all those just hit after hit. It was like their Nevermind.
Open
like
arms.
Five radio hits.
That song, you know, as cheesy as it is chilling.
Oh, yeah.
It's goosebumpy.
Yeah.
You turn into the Irma Gerd girl, you get goosebumps.
You're like, Irma Gerd, this song is so touching. I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
I saw that picture so many times before I realized why she was so freaked out was because she was getting goosebump books.
Goosebump books?
Yeah, you know the Irma Gerd girl, right?
Yeah.
And she's all, like, she's stoked because she just got a present and she's holding up, like, 3 goosebump books.
Oh, those
she got goosebumps.
Goosebumps. Okay, Irma Gerd.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was a good little fun list of whatever that was.
Karaoke song.
We got Battlestar Galactica. That was the number 16 most requested song at karaoke was the theme, the theme from Battlestar Galactica.
Now, you used
reboot.
To start off every set with Tequila, right?
No,
where you just like started up and then you'd go,
we go
tequila
ding, ding,
at the
ding.
End and
look
then
how easy karaoke
go,
is. You could just wait for it to take everybody tequila. No, but one time there's been a few times when people actually tried to, well, they did. They said, I want to be funny, but I'm drunk, but I can do tequila.
What if you
and they'd still miss their one cue.
Yeah. What if you did tequila stories. And then you just, you in that song, so you had like a comedy bit worked out to the song to where when they said tequila, it made sense in the bit.
Okay. So you're doing a comedy bit.
About tequila.
Or maybe not even necessarily.
Yeah.
You're like, and this bitch walks up to me, right? She pukes all over the floor. And I said, bitch, what's wrong with you? And she's like, I'm sorry, I'm really sick. And he's like, why? I've been drinking all day. And you're like, talk slower. Because what were you drinking? Tequila! And then the bitch gets up off the floor and she's like, let's go get some soda or some limes. Lemons? I don't know.
I can't think of that song without thinking of Pee-wee Herman. King.
Yep, doing the Pee-wee dance.
Mm-hmm.
He does it so well, too. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen a woman riding a motorcycle?
Yeah.
Bare-breasted?
No.
In Wisconsin?
It seems like...
with no hands? Now, I'm believing that she's driving with no hands, but I bet she... probably has hands, but this makes it sound like she actually has no hands.
Well, I'm interested in the size of her babongas.
Babongas. This just sounds
just
funny.
Just because, the wind flapping.
Well, one of the main reasons is because I'm a man and I like boobies and I like mm-hmm. stories about boobies, but just listen to this. A Wisconsin woman was exposing her breasts as she drove a motorcycle with no hands on a Wisconsin highway last week. So you could say that she was driving the motorcycle with no hands as a figure of speech, as like maybe she had her hands up in the air and was driving like, look, Ma. Or maybe she had no hands. She was driving with no hands and she had her breasts exposed. They chased her on Interstate 43 and she was driving erratically, changing speeds, going as slow as 15 miles per hour and as fast as 60 miles per hour.
Wow.
But then she lost control of her motorcycle and crashed. I know, and she didn't have any protective stuff on.
Is riding a motorcycle without hands as easy as riding a bicycle without hands?
Probably easier because of the momentum. Mm-hmm. But that you have to have balance, of course.
And it seems like, I mean...
Once you start, if you're leaned, steering...
You know, would seem to be very, like, if it hit a rock going that fast, you know, it could really shift.
Not so much. More on a bike, I think.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah, because you got a big wide tire.
Yeah.
You got a heavy bike. It's rolling down. If you're going 15 to 60 miles an hour. So when they went to see if she was okay, she was reportedly incoherently talking to herself about religion.
Ah. I like to do that.
And they took her to the hospital in spite of her claim that she was not injured. She was wearing a patch used for severe pain, which I'm thinking probably a fentanyl patch, which is like heroin shit that they give people. And she was under the influence of OxyContin.
I like a crack patch.
So you get.
So she had.
She was patched out and been taking pills, and so she's like, I'm riding a motorcycle with no shirt. Fuck that. No hands, too.
Yeah.
Cops, fuck you. I'm going 15. I'm going 60. I'm going 15. I'm going 40. You're not going to catch me. Crash. Shit. I hate religion. God's an asshole. What?
Yeah.
So that'd be a funny skit. Don't do drugs, kids.
Yeah, don't.
That's what we're saying. Yeah. That was in Wisconsin.
Or believe in God.
She should be eating cheese and fucking going to a stupid Packer game.
With the cheese head?
Yeah, she was a cheese head.
I got some stories of lucky and not lucky people. Speaking of that,
I feel kind of lucky sometimes, but not so much today.
Yeah, a segment I call Lucky Not Lucky. Okay. So, lucky?
Lucky not so lucky.
Dr. Dre, you know, he once beat a woman senseless for interviewing NWA.
No.
Remember that one went down?
Don't.
In 1990. He was fined and sentenced to community service. Now he's in Dr. Pepper ads.
Dr. Dre, Dr. Pepper.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his own headphones.
Yeah, he was lucky. Right? I mean, that sounds like
It could have ruined his career.
Yeah. Not so lucky, Ike Turner. You know, Tina admitted he punched her a few times, but never beat her. And he was a huge early rock and roll influence. And he's no more than just a butt of spousal abuse jokes now.
Yeah. He was a good outlet for Kevin Nealon. for many years on Weekend Update.
Yep. Yeah.
He's like, come on, Kevin Nealon. Tim Meadows did a good Ike Turner. I mean, not really, but their exchange was awesome.
Exactly, which is just the thing, you know. I mean, Dr. Dre, you know, I mean.
He got lucky.
Yeah, yeah.
Not so lucky.
Here's another lucky Tim Allen. Caught with 1.4 pounds of coke.
That's a lot of fucking coke.
And rats on all his dealers he knows and gets away with 28 months.
And ends up being an multimillionaire.
Well, this was well before he was.
Well, yeah, but it could a mark like that on your record.
Yeah.
Because it was in the public.
Well, it didn't really come out until after he was.
When he hit the big time.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
People dig up dirt on you.
Oh, yeah. Not so lucky. Timothy Leary.
Why not?
Sentenced to 20 years after getting caught with half an ounce of pot.
Well, yeah.
And when he broke out of prison, he was labeled the most dangerous man in America.
Dude.
So you got 1.4 pounds of coke, 28 months, 20 years, half an ounce of pot. I don't think he actually did all those years.
No, but still.
Yeah.
Not so lucky.
Yeah. Lucky. Elvis Costello.
I like him. He just had a birthday.
Mm-hmm. He once drunkenly called Ray Charles a blind, ignorant N-word. And he called James Brown a jive-ass N-word. He later...
He had a point there, but go ahead.
All right, yeah. Yeah, I'm not saying anything wrong with it.
Yeah.
He later apologized and participated in Rock Against Racism.
Huh. And he bounced back.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get branded, like, total...
Yep.
Racist.
Not so lucky, Michael Richards.
No.
Who used the same excuse as Elvis Costello, that he was using extreme behavior back at the problem to try to make a point. And, you know, he responded to somebody that was heckling him.
Yeah.
With the N-word repeatedly. He apologized on Letterman and called Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and apologized personally. And
didn't work.
He's ostracized pretty much from all of society.
I don't think that he can get work.
Yeah.
I mean, in the mainstream. If he was...
Maybe bit parts. Maybe.
Or if he was touring around. Well, maybe not, though. I was going to say, dive bars and stuff would hire him to do a showcase.
Yeah.
Michael Richards from Seinfeld. Fucking duh. Well, why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
But like Helium and those places are going to say,
yeah, they're not going to want to cause problems.
We're those new fangled people who care about everybody and you can't say nigger if you're white because
And you got to think about like what the community, how is the community going to respond because you don't want like a protest out in front of your,
oh, no.
Your thing. So,
it's the last thing you want.
Yeah, and here's the last one. Lucky Johnny Cash.
He's dead.
Yes.
Okay.
He once was driving his truck in California, and it overheated and caught fire. And you know what he did?
Peed on it.
He went fishing.
He just let it burn?
Yeah, and this was in the woods, which burnt almost a square mile of forest, killing 49 condors. Which was about half the population at the time.
Did he not know that his vehicle was on fire?
That was his claim, that he didn't want it to catch on fire. Why would...
But Wacky, weird, wild stuff.
But he neglected it. And,
did not know that.
Yeah, and so he settled for $82,000.
He had to pay them?
Yeah, okay. But they've spent $30 million so far on trying to conserve those things, so it's just a drop in the bucket. And in court, he claimed, I don't give a damn about your yellow buzzards. And so they weren't very lenient on
Well, him. I heard through certain things before that he was kind of a dick about, like, if he didn't care, he didn't care. And he was who
he liked to state that he didn't care.
He was fucking Johnny Carson. What are you going to do?
You mean Johnny Cash?
Was it Johnny Cash?
Yeah.
I thought you said Johnny Carson.
No.
This whole time I thought it was Johnny Carson. That's
Maybe I did say Johnny Carson.
I'm pretty sure you did. Rewind the tape because I'm going, that's weird, wacky, wild stuff. I did not know that. I'm doing my Johnny Carson impersonation.
Okay. So now let me try to picture that in the context of Johnny Carson doing that, and that would be weird. No, so, this is Johnny Cash.
So he's driving his car.
Johnny Cash driving, you know, he's the guy that
and
would
he catches
be, like,
on fire and wouldn't go fishing.
Yeah, and so he just goes fishing.
That sounds a little bit more like it.
Yeah, and then it burned down. He don't give a damn about their yellow buzzards.
I don't give a damn about them yellow buzzards.
Yeah, and so $82,000 drop in the bucket for him, okay. You know. And not so lucky, Michael Vick. We all know that story.
Yeah. So I'm glad that I clarified that before we got to the
me too, like, because,
I'm pretty
yeah.
sure you said, I might have.
I don't doubt it.
My ears might just be playing tricks on me.
I don't doubt that I said that.
Johnny Carsh. Yeah. Cashin. Cashin. Johnny Cash and Carey.
Man, that would be a crazy Johnny Carson story.
Yeah. I was under the influence. I was seeing him driving. I was like, uh-huh. So he just left. That's why I questioned.
I couldn't even picture him driving.
I was like, he just left his car burning and went fishing. You're like, yep, I guess so.
Yeah, I don't get it. Those are two things I cannot see Johnny Carson doing: driving and fishing,
and not giving a goddamn about 70 dead condors or however many it was.
Yeah, well, basically half the population, which was about 50 of them, was what died
50.
In the fire.
That's 50 dead.
So, man, that's a lot of dead birds.
Well, I killed a dozen condor.
And yeah,
and
now they're tying him to the back of the bulls. Remember
now
that?
I'm fucking dead.
And the condor
Trent
versus
Reznor
bulls.
Is the man. Speaking of Men in Black, and he's the Man in Black, you know.
Yes.
Happy birthday to Lewis Black today, Friday, August 30th.
What? You guys are so fucked up.
I think that's one of your best impressions I've ever seen.
Thanks.
And
I didn't even use a word.
That was perfect. How old do you think he is? Just think, Jack Black was 44 on Wednesday.
I know, that's what I was thinking of.
And Lewis Black, that's his
so
dad.
He could not be 44.
Oh, that's his dad.
Oh, he is? So
yeah.
Then you're
you didn't know that's
above 50? 48.
Lewis Black?
Well, you said he's his dad, so I'm guessing older.
Well, yeah, a
but
lot.
I'm going. Okay, he's a lot older.
He's pretty much older.
56.
He's 65.
What?
You didn't think? I thought he. Yeah, Lewis Black is 65 today. Happy
Lewis
birthday,
Lewis Black, the comedian.
Yeah. That guy that you were just doing that. That's him, right? He's mad.
He looks younger at 65 than Carlin looked at when he was like when he was 65.
Well, yeah, Carlin
didn't look like he was 70 when he was 70.
But he did get kind of really gray and sucked up.
He did the last 5 years, I guess he did. But before that, you know.
But you
got to
think,
like
whatever Lewis Black's special was before the last. Well, I mean, he's probably had several, but one of his most famous ones that I've been watching is like from 2003. So that's like 10 years ago. So he was 55 then.
And he had like a double album way back in like 94.
And he didn't even really start doing comedy until he was like 45 or something, I think.
Yeah.
He was
getting popular around the time Andrew Dice Clay was.
Pretty sure he was already like an accomplished playwright and all these other like prestige. Like he went to school and like got all these things and did like adult stuff and then goes, "Eh, I'm pissed. Maybe I'll be a comic."
Yeah. Well, I think it took him a while to find that voice before he realized
he
was the most effective delivery.
Yeah, he's pissed. He's pretty much pissed. So, yep, he's old, 65. He got to retire. No, just kidding. You're funny. You're not listening. Why aren't you listening? Dude, why aren't you...
No, we do this... Why would I listen to that?
I'm still full from that thing.
I know. Any more birthdays?
Nope, that was it.
Oh,
just one. We've had one only every day. I don't even think we had one on Monday. Huh. Oh, but I would like to give a belated birthday to Tristan Spillman. He'll be hosting the comedy show tonight.
Happy belated.
And this is the second to last show that he's hosted for 7 years. I feel sorry for you, buddy, but don't know how old you are, but on Tuesday he had a birthday. So happy belated birthday to Tristan Spillman.
Happy birthday.
And I will see you tonight, buddy.
Speaking of birthdays, you know that back in the day, there was being buried alive wasn't that uncommon.
No, no. Oh, no.
So
dead ringers they had.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
Oh, really? Sorry.
Yeah. No, that among the paranoid and wealthy, that's what they would buy, safety coffins.
Yeah, and they'd put a little... Tie a string to their finger or something like that?
Yeah, so that they could alert people. Well,
God, we'd already talked about that.
Did we?
A long time ago when I was doing that whole thing about pot to piss in and piss pour and all that.
Okay.
And then my dad said, did you ever, when you talked about all that, talk about where the background of the word ass backwards came from? Because what does that even mean?
Hmm.
Backwards ass?
Means when you got like your front looks like a butt when you're walking around.
That chick was all ass backwards. Like, what? She was fucked up? No, she had a front butt.
Yeah.
She was all fucked up the front butt, and she had her butt slid around on the other side. She was all ass backwards. We call it bass ackwards just because it's a bass ackwards.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Is that where it came from?
I don't know. I never looked it up. I thought maybe you knew since you knew about dead ringers.
No. I know that Kermit is left-handed. And so are polar bears.
All?
I think so. Yeah.
Weird.
Our animals can be left and right-handed.
Are all ladybugs female? Duh,
they'd
that's
be
why
lesbians.
They fucking call
they'd
them
be
ladybugs.
They'd be lesbies.
Is there
lesbugs.
Lady, what's the opposite of lady besides man? Is there man bugs? Because I saw
gentleman bugs.
I saw a ladybug that looked like it looked like a ladybug, but it didn't have red with black dots. It had like a yellowish green with black dots, and I thought those were the lady man bugs, like the my lady bugs.
Uh huh. My lady bugs.
Check out my lady bugs. Hey, did you hear they're having a big rat problem up in Seattle right now?
Huh? Are they going round and round?
No, it's fucking ratocopolyx. How do you say it? Ratpocalypse.
Huh.
Ratpocalypse.
So what's going on with them?
They're doing this Highway 99 tunnel project between downtown Seattle, and rats and cockroaches have been steadily emerging from the ground. Both the roaches and the rats, they like it quiet, they like it dark. And they've been shaking the ground, and it's affecting their behavior. So what his company, this guy, his name's Mark Schmidt. He's the leader of this whole whatever company that they're doing this thing. He said ratpocalypse will only get worse and probably continue for the next 2 years. His company services more than 300 commercial properties in the downtown area, and they've seen an 80% jump.
Wow.
In businesses that have rats and cockroaches.
Is there a way to cook them?
I don't know.
Turn them over to the soup kitchen, make some rat soup?
So they saw specific events where they're driving posts into the ground. 5 blocks away, they were getting roaches on the 21st floor. What does that even mean, that they're coming from the goat?
He says there's a lot of trash being left around, is what it sounds like. You got roaches and rats, man.
The tunnel will operate below sea level, which is far lower than where the rodents live. But Schmidt said that as he drills and they move north, more creepy crawlies will be scrambling. They're still making a 3.5 earthquake every single day. I don't know.
What if...
Ratpocalypse.
What if the Earth's surface is overrun by bugs and rodents so much that we are the ones that are forced to begin living underground and burying ourselves and like gophers and rats?
I don't even know what to say. That's probably it's probably a definite possibility.
Yeah. Is that the same Highway 99 that runs through here?
I believe so. It goes all the way up through Portland.
I didn't know.
I think so.
Well, I know that if you follow Highway 99.
But it's weird because, you know, like Highway 99 goes through Junction City and Harrisburg, you know.
Yeah,
and then when you stay on it, it goes through like Staten and all kinds of weird. Uh-huh. So,
but it like curlies, right? I mean, it's not definitely not as straight as I-5.
That's why no one takes it unless they're going clear to
Seattle.
Man,
that'd be a crazy Seattle trip.
Highway 99.
Yeah, just go Highway 99 all the way to Seattle.
You could hitchhike it.
It'd probably be three times as long as if you just took I-5, right?
Yeah, seems like it.
Because I know all those bridges going over, that's probably Highway 99 when you're driving on I-5.
Yep.
Huh.
It's too funny. Oh, man. Oh, I got one crazy Florida story for today, since we haven't done that yet, before we get to Hans's CD player.
I might have a couple, too.
Florida man had his camera snatched by an alligator in February, and the camera just resurfaced with one picture surviving on the memory card. So he was trying to take a picture of the and the flash went off, Alligator grabbed the camera, and he grabbed the tripod leg as the Alligator grabbed the camera, and he's like trying to pull the tripod back, and it's pulling him in the water, and then the camera comes off, and he gets away. 8 months later, they're doing an alligator feeding show. Alligator walks out of the pond. Camera strap is attached to his leg. They think it's the same alligator.
Yeah.
They thought maybe he was taking a lot of pictures with it. The camera was badly damaged. The chew marks on the exterior. It was filled with sand. He was able to salvage one single picture from the camera's memory card. And in the image, you can see in the distance a whole bunch of alligators, little orbs of red from their eyes. In the front portion, you see three or four really big gators.
Huh.
So I wonder if that gator actually took the picture, or if that was the last picture he took before he said, "Give me that paparazzi, you piece of shit."
That's probably what he's like. I got this camera. Let me get a group shot of us all here.
I'll give your camera back in 8 months, you little fucker. I told you not to take our pictures. It's like teacher taking your Walkman after you've been caught with it too many times. Like, I'll give it back to you at the end of the school year.
That reminds me of that seal that was wearing Buster's tie. And I'm Arrested Development. I love that. That was one of my favorite moments of the show.
I've been catching random episodes on IFC once in a while that I have them on DVD, but they're just, come on, and I'm like, oh, this is a funny one. When they had Charlize Theron on there as the retarded, but he didn't know she was retarded. That was too funny.
In South Florida, beaches are running out of sand. Did you hear about that?
I did. I was going to report on that, but go ahead. Yes, perfect.
Yeah, it could mean storms are going to do more damage.
Did you even know that for decades that they've been bringing in sand and putting it on the beaches?
Yeah, they've been borrowing sand.
From the fucking bottom of the ocean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what that too. But sand has to be, beach sand has to be a special variety, and it's not as available for them right now.
They're thinking about using broken glass.
Really? I heard they're thinking about borrowing sand from the Bahamas. I don't know how you'd give it back. Would you, like, mark each grain?
We only
want our grains back.
How do they regenerate it, too? Does it make it? How do you make more sand? Naturally.
It just the water somehow
rolls rocks. Is it little rocks?
Maybe it rolls something together, which turns to sand. Maybe they're periwinkle shells.
Maybe. Are you sure?
Also in Florida, Pi Kappa Alpha has been suspended from the Florida International University or whatever it's called because they've been posting asking for drugs on Facebook.
What?
And it was the same frat that got busted in Tennessee for the butt chugging incident when that guy went in by having chugged too much in his butt and got a 0.4 alcohol level. I wonder if they measure what is the going interest on sand though. Do you think they measure it in grains?
Yes. It's very granular.
Yeah.
We owe you this many grains of sand.
There was a while I used to weigh weed with a grain scale.
Hell yeah. Me too. You'd
like
have to do all the conversions.
Or something like that.
You'd have to do the conversion.
Yeah.
And then people would be going, are you selling me grams or grains? 3.5 grains is not a... It's not an eight.
It's like six red hairs.
Yeah, it's just this different. It's all the same, only it's different. It's like, dude, it's supposed to be 3.5 grams, not grains. It's like, oh, is this a grain scale? Yeah. All right, so in case you didn't hear in the background, we were playing What's in Hans' CD Player. Now, I've heard of this band, and I know that I've heard good high talk of them. Good high talk. What does that mean? Who knows? Yob played some shows with these guys over in the UK, I think, in England, overseas somewhere, and just bragged about how awesome they were. They're called Kong.
Kong.
K-O-N-G-H. Kong.
Kong.
Hans is listening to Kong, Shadows of the Shapeless. And I've heard they're great. You should burn that for me, too, because I don't have no Kong. I play Donkey Kong.
Kong.
Kong. Kong. I don't play Donkey Kong. I play Mario Kart, and sometimes I'm Donkey Kong. And I was listening, speaking of, that's weird, he's listening to Kong, And I was listening to Bongo Fury.
Bongo Fury.
Debra Cadabra. That's my best Captain Beefheart impersonation, yeah.
I think you're going for Wolfman Jack.
Debra Cadabra. No, Wolfman Jack talked more like this.
Yeah, was Wolfman Jack...
Ow! Everybody thought it was black.
Was he a singer or...
He was a DJ.
That's right. Yeah, I was thinking of the
DJ. He was a pirate DJ who ran up all the way from Mexico up to Canada somehow.
Wow.
I don't know how they did it back then.
Me and my dad was talking about Wolfman Jack. You don't know the story of Wolfman Jack?
I know he's a DJ. I just
you
don't
didn't.
Know.
I just told you.
Oh, I know, but I knew there's another Wolf Jack, Wolfman Hal.
Jack Black, Lewis Black.
Was there a Wolfman Hal or something?
Howlin' Wolf. There's a Howlin' Wolf who's a blues player.
That's, yeah, sometimes I get, I.
He
like
ain't
to
no
sure.
Howlin' Wolf.
Yeah.
Who's Howlin' Wolf?
I wasn't listening to some Christopher Lee. Metal.
I bet Hans has at least listened to that once or tried a little snippet on Amazon to see if he would like it because he loves old dark stuff, horror movies.
And
probably.
He's kind of got the demonic voice, right? He's got a doomy voice. I didn't really give
Lee.
It much of a chance.
You just
know, but
to
I knew it was like symphonic kind of orchestral, like
did you just do the
fantasy
snippet?
Sci-fi music kind of a thing.
Did you just do the snippet thing? Just listen to snippet?
Yeah. I just listened to about 10 seconds of it.
And said, that sucks. This Wolfman Jack.
I just didn't have the interest in pursuing it at that point.
I just didn't have the interest in pursuing it at that point.
That's right.
Next up, we're going to hear no more Christopher Lee because that shit sucks ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, don't forget to come down to the Baghdad Theater tonight. It's going to be the penultimate show. If you don't know what that means, look it up on the internet.
Means the second to the last.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, here's me doing two voices.
Well, that's weird. Are you talking to yourself?
I don't know. Am I?
You are. You're Wolfman Jack talking to Wolfgang Puck.
In an interview with Terry Guile from the Terry and Gatch. Hi, I'm Terry Guile.
I'm Wolfman Jack.
And I'm Wolfgang Puck. I don't know who Wolfgang Puck is.
He's a chef.
Is he got an English accent? Anyone named Wolfgang must not have a regular accent.
I think he's like Austria.
I'm from Austria.
So like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, I'm the one from Austria.
You think more Arnold.
I'm Wolfman Jack. I'm from Austria.
Yeah.
I just shed my accent for the radio.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Wolfman Buck.
He's a gang, though. It's Wolfgang. He's a gang of wolves.
Like Wolfgang Van Halen? Is he in the gang,
Wolfgang
too?
Wolfgang Amadeus.
You're blowing me away. Wolfgang Amadeus?
Yeah, you didn't know that was his name?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But is it Amadeus Morant?
I don't know, but he rocked people.
So it's Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, right?
Yeah.
Really?
Wolfgang? Isn't it?
Yeah, I'm. It just came out of my mouth, so it has to be right.
Yeah.
Why would I
yeah.
make something like that up?
Well, it sounds right to me.
It sounded like a question, didn't it?
Yeah, it sounds right to me. But I had to think because the Amadeus, the movie I have not seen, was about him, right?
Yeah.
And then Mozart is what most people call him.
And then you rock me, Amadeus. That song was about him.
That
and
song
Wolfgang
was huge.
Is just the name that people name their kids after Mozart because they don't want to name him Mozart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that reminds me of a funny story that we don't have time for, but I'm going to do it anyway.
All
right. I used to work with this cat. He was actually a human, but we called him a cat. And his name was Mark Motes, as in Marcus Motes. But his name was Mark, Moates.
Yes.
And it was a kind of a viral work environment. Lots of guys, lots of testosterone working on the assembly line, building big motorhomes. And so,
in the coal mine, going down.
That's right. And we all had nicknames for each other. Like, I think the cabinet setter called me Peggy because I have one leg.
Uh-huh.
And there was no mercy there at Country Coach. And so we're like, so, Mozart, what the hell's you doing there? You know, we instantly start calling him Mozart. And he's like, he was a little bit kind of like Jared a little bit. He's like, don't call me Mozart. Like, you don't want to be called Mozart? And he's like, nope, I don't like that. I said, Mozart was pretty badass, dude. He was like, he was a smart guy. He's like, well, I don't like Mozart, so don't call me that. And I was like, okay. Do you have any other nicknames that anybody maybe used to call you? And he's like, well, my stepdad used to call me Skidmark. We're like, so you'd rather have us call you Skidmark than Mozart? And he's like, yeah.
Well, you should have called him Skidzart.
No, then we start calling him Skidmark Mozart because his name his name was Mark Motes. So it still fit perfectly in the, you just add a skid to the beginning and a zart at the end, and you got Skidmark Mozart. And he was a real skinny little dude that couldn't really grow facial hair, but tried to have a beard, and he was a little bit tweaky sometimes.
Yeah.
And he kind of talked like this sometimes, and he'd go, don't call me that because I don't like to be called Mozart. And we're like, well, okay, Skidmark. And so then, like, people thought we were being mean by calling, because that's kind of derogatory.
Yeah.
It's like shit stain. Skidmark. That's it. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Why did they? What happened? So we're talking about nicknames. That's right.
Who's your favorite classical composer?
Skidmark Mozart.
Really?
No. I don't know. Who does that song? I don't know a lot about.
There's Beethoven and Mozart and Bach.
I do think I like Mozart better than Bach or Brahms.
What's that?
As far as their writing style, but Beethoven has lots of killer stuff.
What's that one guy that wrote the Ride of the Valkyries?
Tchaikovsky.
Yeah.
He always also had some awesome stuff. But then you got the people that I got turned on to, like, by listening to Zappa, which was like Edgar Varese, which was way more like avant-garde writing stuff that people were like looking down on him like,
what the heck?
And there was another guy, God, I can't remember his name right now, but he was considered crazy because of the music that he wrote, and I think he died of syphilis like a lot of those people died
back in
then.
The day, yeah.
But, and it made it eat up your brain and make you crazy and make you do crazy stuff, and then he was already looked at as like a master composer, and then he writes this crazy stuff at the end because he's dying of like something eating his brain. And then they're like, man, that's a masterpiece. And you're like, actually, it's just pretty much nonsense, but he did it, so now it's a masterpiece.
But see, was he like an early forefronter of jazz music?
I can't remember the name of him. God, it was...
You just said his name, didn't you?
No. There's another guy. Edgar Varese is who I was talking about before, but there's another guy. I will collect my information and bring it back for Monday's show. Maybe we'll talk.
I know the very more famous pieces like the Ride of the Valkyries and the William Tell Overture.
Also Tchaikovsky.
And, I like those pieces. And, the Fur Elise by the Beethoven, right?
Yep.
Is probably one of the first early catchiest songs that'll just stick the fuck in your head anything if you hear it, Just... one of the easiest, you'll often hear beginner piano players throw that out there, because it kind of teaches meter a little bit, right?
Yep. And the changing of meter as well. I mean, without losing meter within the song, because a lot of those would have different time signatures within the same measure. Like, it feels like just feeling in the song, like when it gets to a certain part and it kind of slows down a little bit and then it rushes back into it. So there's all these time signature changes. So yeah, it helps you with your timing. Yeah. And Casio keyboard I've been playing with has like pre-recorded songs in it. And a lot of them are those classical songs. And as it's playing, it's like a player piano. It has a little LCD screen that shows that
where you want to hit,
where it would be. And so then you can push a button that takes either the right or left hand away, and you can play along with it, because that's the hardest thing for me about playing classical music on the piano is playing both hands together. I can learn one hand and I can learn the other, but I try to put them together and it's like,
I think that's probably a lot of muscle memory there.
It's just you've got different rhythms and different. It's weird. I don't
kinda
see.
Like where drumming, you almost have to think of them as different appendages.
Exactly. It'd be like having 10 hands.
Yeah.
And they're all doing something different. It's like
one of my friends in school. He was a good power drummer before back in his school day, and he was one of those guys that would go and just practice into the night on him. You know, after he got out of school and stuff, and he was all about that. And he would always describe it as uncoordinating yourself, you know, to where, you know, you almost have separate brains for each appendage rather than, you know, trying to think of your body making moves as one whole. You know, you got to make those separate, and you know, that's tough.
Yes, it is.
Drumming.
Yep. But yeah, that classical piano shit. We'll talk more about that on Monday because I would like to talk about that, all but right. We kind of delved into it late in the issue. This is an issue now. It's a magazine. Hey, we'd like to thank Pizza Now again because that was good food today,
It
always is. Check out terrygile.com for my upcoming shows. Go to iTunes and rate us. Follow us on Facebook. All that good crap. Subscribe to our Tumblr like Hans. Thanks for listening, Hans.
Yeah, thanks, Hans.
We're still looking for $10. We've got a gracious $20 donation from the Brownsville Car Wash.
Nice.
They'll be sponsoring next month's show along with Hans Jochumsen, our number one faithful listener.
I encourage Hans to look up Diogenes of Sinope, a Greek philosopher around 400 B.C. He is one of the early founders of Cynicism. And he would make it his life goal to challenge current customs.
Whoa,
sorry. Stuff like that. And he would do some funny things. I don't know if you want to hear about some of the funny things he would do.
Sure.
His father minted coins, but Diogenes was banished because he would deface money.
Whoa. See, Hans knows all about cynicism. I don't know.
Yeah, and he moved to Athens to debunk culture. He slept in a large ceramic jar around town to, like, because if he was the type that if he had a cup to drink water out of and he saw somebody drinking out of their hands, he would smash his cup.
What?
Because of material, you know. If he didn't need it, he didn't need it.
That's fucking weird.
And he, Plato... once publicly defined man as a featherless biped.
Plato?
Mm-hmm. He said man is nothing but more than a featherless biped.
Huh.
And Diogenes heard this, and he plucked a chicken and took it to his door and said, "Behold, I brought you a man." And let's see some of the other things he would do. He liked to carry a lamp in the daytime around. And people
just to waste power?
No, people would ask him what he was doing, and he would say, "I'm looking for an honest man, but all I could find is nothing but scoundrels and rascals."
Whoa.
Oh, that's pretty...
wow.
I know.
Shit the bed, Fred. Yep. So check him out, Hans.
He was known to masturbate in public.
Me too.
When he would be confronted, he would reply, "If only it was as easy to cure hunger by rubbing your stomach."
Wow. Huh.
In one story, he traveled to the Oracle of Delphi.
Where's that?
In Greece. Oh. And the Oracle of Delphi told him to deface currency. And after he'd already defaced currency, he took it to mean political currency. So he should challenge the ideas leading to the cynicism of values and stuff. People didn't eat in the marketplace. It wasn't right. It was seen as bad manners. But right. He would eat in the marketplace, and people would call him on, and he'd go, "This is where I'm hungry."
Hmm.
And met Alexander the Great one time, and Alexander the Great liked this guy, liked his philosophy, and said, "If I was not Alexander, I would wish to be Diogenes."
Huh.
And Diogenes looked at him and said, "If I was not Diogenes, I would also wish to be Diogenes."
Ooh.
Oh, and he would piss on people who insulted him. He would defecate in theaters and point at people with his middle finger.
Wow. What a fucking rebel.
Mm-hmm. He preached that people should learn from looking at dogs, because dogs perform bodily functions without embarrassment in public wherever they need to.
Fucking and shitting.
They would eat anything, sleep anywhere, and they lived in the present without anxiety and were instinctive about knowing who is friend or foe.
Take
that
it from
all makes
the,
sense to me.
Yep. Take it from the dogs.
Yep.
Diogenes.
And so speaking, and cynic means dog-like, and this, I think, speaks to the heart of a cynic.
It means dog-like?
Yeah. Other dogs bite their enemies. I bite my friends to save them. Which is what, you know, a cynic does. You kind of like, ah.
What do you think, Hans? You ever know about that? Like, yeah, I wrote that shit.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about that, so that was awesome.
I didn't either until I read up on him.
Well, that's usually the way it works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I knew nothing about it until
and
I found
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I didn't know Marcus Aurelius was a real person either.
Me neither.
Isn't that from Life of Brian or something?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. I knew it sounded familiar.
This is a quote by him that I found interesting. If thou art pained by an external thing, it is not this that disturbs thee, but thy own judgment about it.
Ooh, sizzle.
And it is in thine power to wipe out this judgment now. Which basically means if something's bothering you, it's your mind creating it, and you have the power to let it go.
You have the power! This has been this week's installment of Inspiration on the Internet.
It is.
We're trying to help you guys, man.
I know. A little delving into philosophy, that's learning.
That's right. We just learned you something because we're a learned podcast. Radio show on the internet.
On the internet.
We'd like to thank you guys for listening. Coming to an end of a show here Friday. Running long on Fridays, Mondays, this whole like week. That. We've just been blabbity blab blab, but we don't care. I think we gave you over an hour and a half on my birthday the other day.
Yeah.
Had at least a good hour 15 on
birthday
Wednesday,
party.
Hour 20 today.
Man.
Fuck you guys.
I know.
Give us something back. We're giving you extra. Give us a dollar. I didn't mean to say fuck you guys. We love you.
Yeah.
See, what's going to happen?
Send us a dollar bill with 3 sixes on it.
Okay, yeah, do that. Monday, I'm going to try to remember to talk about some more Florida versus Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was kind of good. Maybe you can dig up a Canada story for the three-way.
I'll just get one from Adrian. He'll give me a story.
He'll probably give you a true life story from his own life.
Yeah.
Because he's always got something going on.
I'm going to try to dig up a story about a moose.
Okay. I'm going to dig up an old Oregon story.
Ooh.
And then relate it to a newer Florida story.
There's always that one you could talk about where they blew up that whale on the beach.
Oh, man.
And
that
Florence.
Was recreated in a few movies. I don't know which one, but I saw that. Oh, Reno 911, they did that one, too.
Did they?
Yeah.
I didn't see that one.
It's like, we're going to just blow it up. It's just like everyone's just covered with fucking coming down everywhere. Hello, all you taggots. What's going on? Well, wait. Why am I asking? I'm going to tell you. Here's some things that are going on that you might be interested in going to and enjoying as we listen to a little bit of Frank Zappa in the background distracting me. Got a lot of good shows coming up. Mainly, I want to mention first off the penultimate Comedy at the Baghdad show. That means the next to the last one, the last being the ultimate. But this Friday, the 30th of August, we've got a Comedy at the Baghdad Theater, still only $5 after 6 years, and it's coming to an end. So if you've never been, you should come because it'll be my last time being there. I'll be with my good friend Seth Milstein. Christian Spillman will be hosting the show. We've also got headliner Nathan Brannon. He was Portland's Funniest Person of 2012. Also Jacob Christopher, Stacy Halal, and Arlo Stone. That should make you go, oh, you know Arlo. Anyway, come out to that. It's $5. It's 10 p.m. It's the Baghdad Theater. It's at 37th and Hawthorne in Portland, Oregon. The historic Baghdad Theater. I'm still trying to find my list of shit here, but I knew that was happening because I'm going. I'm going to be there. Let's see. What's the date today? Oh, yeah. August 29th, Gary Numan will be in Cars down at the park at the Wow Hall. I heard that commercial on a Radio Shack commercial the other day, and now he's coming to Eugene. should be pretty awesome. August 29th through the 31st, that's this weekend, it's the Eugene Medal Celebration, an answer back to this last weekend's Eugene Celebration. Three nights, I think a total of about 15 bands. Metal up your arses all night long at the Black Forest. Free shows. Got to be 21, but they're starting early at like 8 or 9 since there's so many bands. So go out and check that out if you're in the Eugene area. I think voting has commenced, and I'm not sure if they won or not, but there's a good chance that 30 Pound Test might be playing with Alice in Chains and Jane's Addiction. The last time I checked, they were in third place, and that was the day before the voting ended. And I think you just had to be in the top three to make it onto one of the stages. That's September 8th, the Sleep Country Amphitheater up in, I think it's in Vancouver, but it's considered Portland. September 12th at the Wow Hall, it's Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin tribute band. That should be a good show. Don't forget about the very last comedy show at the Baghdad. That's September 6th. The list is too large to even begin to mention, so you'll have to go to the Facebook page of Comedy at the Baghdad. You will find all the information there. Friday the 13th, September 13th, it's Yob, Tormentium, and Ninth Moon Black at the Wow Hall. Be a wonderful show. I hope to at least catch the last of it because I have a comedy show that night at the Tiny Tavern. So that's going to start at 9. I think it's a free or donation show. Me and Max Brockman, Mac Chase, will be doing that one. Brian Posehn, who I just watched got murdered in a movie, he's going to be at the Wow Hall too, October 4th with Derek Sheen. And Marcus and Drew from the Donkey Show will be opening that one up. Let's see, we got a lot of other good stuff. World of Lies, Necryptic, and another band, World of Lies, Necryptic, They're Who Matter. September 28th, the Black Forest, also a free show. Oh, I'm looking at my scribblings here. That's my problem. October 10th through 13th is the Fall Into Darkness Festival. My highlight for that weekend is the 11th with Orange Goblin. Look that up, Fall Into Darkness. It's a great Doom Festival in Portland, Oregon. October 15th, it's Guar and Whitechapel. I think that's at the Hawthorne Theater. Other good shows coming to the Hawthorne, Diamond Head and Raven, October 11th. Creator and Overkill on the 13th. Morbid Angel on the 26th of November. And that, of course, is with World of Lies and another local band, lucky enough to open the show. Lots of other good stuff going on, like comedy is advertised every second Saturday, I think, of the month.
You were going to say every second.
Every second we have a comedy show in Eugene. It's blowing up, I tell you. Hey, thanks for listening, you guys. Get back to your podcast listening. We're still a podcast, but we're a comedy show, too, so I'm never going to stop saying it.
What's a podcast?
Well, watch Marin on IFC, you'll find out. Hey, get back to it. Thanks for listening, you guys. Go do something later. Hey, Frank, you could stop doing the guitar solo now. Hey, Frank? Frank! Dude, it's been 6 minutes. You're still just going to keep doing the guitar solo? All right, well, then we're just going to fade you out, buddy. Hey, don't forget to listen to the Zappa Tag Cast, which is just the Terry and Gatch Zappa show. What's a podcast? Frank, give me the...